the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Rex Watson, we're talking wrestling for your entertainment and never the other way around. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at The Rexplex and like us on Facebook and join the group page. Just search The Rexplex on Twitter. You can email us at TheRexplex@gmail.com for any questions, concerns, comments, or complaints. You can complain about how I sound right now. I've been sick for better part of a week. I'm not going into any detail about what my condition is. I just know that I'm probably not going to die. That's pretty much all I can say, is I'm probably not going to die. I have internal injuries. I have pain right now. I shouldn't even be sitting in this chair. I should be laying in a bed. I had 2 days of rehab. Thank you to my co-host, who I'll introduce at this moment, Lexi V.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right.
Or are you just saying hi to the people?
I'm just saying hi to the people.
So, what's been going on in your life? Any cool news stories?
No, not really. Just working. I did get 2 days off. It's pretty much the most exciting thing that has happened in my life.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
Which doesn't happen to me very often when I work 2 jobs. Even though I'm not working 2 jobs right now, I'm only working one this week. Yay!
And I want to tell you guys something that most of you probably didn't know about me, and that's that I'm into a lot of coincidences, sometimes conspiracies. Not that I believe them, I just find them fascinating. And also, strange occurrences.
Oh my god, I just found this one.
I didn't get to the point.
Oh.
And I found it so odd that I've always been fascinated by the number 23 because of all the things related with it. And I found it so bizarre that as I was preparing for episode 23, I had to go to the hospital, and I wasn't able to do episode 23, but here it is. This is episode 23, and let's get into the weirdness of the number 23s, why this kind of freaked me out.
The chromosome conspiracy claims that humans have 23 pairs of chromosomes. Can I just say that I wasn't aware that was a conspiracy? I thought that was like a fact.
It is a fact.
Then why is it under a conspiracy?
A lot of these are facts, like the Michael Jordan thing. The
I don't have that one.
Michael Jordan's number is 23.
Julius Caesar was stabbed 23 times when he was killed. Olaf Palme was shot around 23 local time, give or take a minute and a half. The Earth is inclined on its orbital plane by 23.5 degrees. The 0.5 can be represented as 5 equals 2 plus 3. The number 23 is the 23rd movie directed by Joel Schumacher. It was also released in the United States on February 23rd, 2007. Serial killer Ted Bundy was allegedly executed on January 23rd, 1989. The record shows he was actually executed on January 24th, 1989 at 7:16 a.m. 7 plus 6 equals 23.
If you ever watch Seinfeld, there's a parking garage that they're often in at certain scenes, and there is a parking space you always see, and it's parking space number 23.
Weird. The sum of the first 23 prime numbers is 874, which is divisible by 23.
That's just numerology.
Yeah. There were 23 problems on David Hilbert's famous list of unsolved mathematical problems presented to the International Congress of Mathematicians in Paris in 1900. The first message sent by telegraph was quotation from the Book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 23. 23 is the width of the Arecibo message sent into space in search of extraterrestrial intelligence. 23 is the TCP/IP port used for Telenet and is the default for Telenet command. The letter W has 2 points down and 3 points up, equals 23, and is also below the numbers 2 and 3, or 23, it is also the 23rd letter of the alphabet.
And now you can add, while preparing for episode number 23 of the Rexplex, I had an internal rupture. And now this is the actual episode 23. I hope you enjoyed that little, chat about 23. This is the Rexplex. We're on Rant EM Radio every Thursday. Shouts out to AA, of course. Make sure you listen to all of the programs on Rant EM Radio, starting on Mondays with That Awful Podcast at 7. Freaks and Effing Geeks with my homie Rage, my homie Lee, live at 11:15. Of course, the flagship program of this station, The Rant, every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with Ole and Tony C. One of my personal favorite podcasts, Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. on Wednesday with Dave Mega Powers and the Impact player, Phil Rea, who coined the term for me, I am the Thursday Night Delight, Rex Watson. So thanks, guys. I love your show. Thursdays, you get this show, The Rexplex, at 7, and immediately following, we have Rant and Wrestling at 9. On Saturdays, you get the Wrestling Call-In Show with Will. It's at 11 p.m. On Sundays, the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer and Jordan Cobb, and pre- and post-shows for every pay-per-view. That's rantemradio.com. Chat, listen live, and enjoy the show, because every show is kick ass on here. So let's see. Is that all of the normal stuff to talk about?
I guess.
So that guy didn't really get arrested for killing his imaginary friend?
No, that was a fake news story.
Do you want to talk about that?
Okay. So there was this fake news story that reported that this guy in Florida turned himself into the police station because he killed his imaginary friend. I believe his name was Happy. It was Mr. Happy. And he told the police that, like, they were friends for, like, 6 or 7 years. And then all of a sudden, he started leaving, like, his cocaine bags everywhere. He'd leave vodka bottles everywhere. And he just never cleaned up after himself. And when he confronted Mr. Happy about it, Mr. Happy threw a fit. They got into an argument. And he just grabbed a knife and killed Mr. Happy. He then turned himself into the police and he demanded the death penalty. Welcome to the crazy shit in Florida. Like, what is wrong with Florida? Like, I know.
That's where we get all the craziest stories from. When AA used to do, just outside the ring news stories. 95% of the stories were from Florida, and it's not because I don't think it's because AA lives in Florida.
Do you think it's because they love selling blood?
I think it's because I didn't have that queued up. Oh, why'd you have to do it like that?
Oh, come on, it was perfect.
Is that why it Is that really why?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Because they love selling blow?
They love selling blow! Weird.
I think it could be because of something else.
Like what? Maybe there's something in the water. They're in love with the coco.
This is Florida's biggest problem.
Everyone's sorting out too much baking soda?
That's the problem. They're in love with the cocoa out of Miami and they get it for the Lolo. Mr. Happy, Mr. Happy clearly had a, Mr. Happy clearly had a cocaine, addiction because he was leaving his baggies all over the house.
Yeah, he leaving his baggies and his vodka bottles everywhere. He didn't like that.
No, that's just not a good roommate.
It's not a good roommate. You should never leave your cocaine baggies everywhere.
No. Maybe it was just this. Maybe that was Mr. Happy's problem.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm trying to do as much as I can to not talk.
Aww.
Because my head is so... I feel like somebody punched me in the nose and stabbed me in the throat.
That's not cool.
Well, that's why I'm letting you talk so much more. Well, you can always talk as much as you want to, but...
Right.
Pardon that unprofessionalism. Oh. Okay, so, this is something interesting... And then I'm gonna get into the wrestling stuff. I pretty much rehabbed from my sickness in Mississippi, and that's where I watched the Payback pay-per-view from a bed. Mm-hmm. And Alexis hung out in the.
I was in the pool.
Hung out in the hot tub.
Yep.
So you watched it on the iPad.
I didn't really watch
some of it. You.
I caught like kind of towards the end.
You at least you caught the stuff that I didn't catch. I don't remember who won.
Who won what?
The Barrett and Neville match.
Oh, I have no idea.
I think it was Barrett.
I didn't see that one.
If I'm wrong, correct me, because that's the one match that I didn't see. Which is weird, because everyone knows how much of a huge Neville fan I am.
Right.
But while we were there, this was so odd. I met a lady who worked at the hotel, and I was playing... I play reggae. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I play reggae, and I was sitting outside playing reggae. And she heard me playing a riff, and I saw it said Jamaica on her name tag. And we started talking. And we started talking about dreams for whatever reason. And I said, I always wanted to go to Jamaica. I feel a calling to Jamaica, but I don't understand why. I wanted to learn how to play reggae when I was 3 years old, which is very unusual for a three-year-old. Then I started telling her about a lot of my... I had night terrors and a lot of sleep problems also. And I was telling her these dreams I have. I have dreams of this really long bridge that goes over a path of water that connects two parts of the island. And also one small bridge that is always congested. And a mini canal that splits and divides the poor neighborhoods from where the rich white people live. And I also had an image of a bridge with metal bars. And going further down, there's a beach area. And in the dream, if you can go under... under a house, and you walk down a couple of blocks, and there's a whole bunch of little wooden houses. And she said, oh, that's how Jamaica is. That's the landscape of Jamaica. You're right. And I said, holy shit. I've been having these dreams for 20 years of this place. And that's why I posted on Facebook, I think I was Jamaican in a past life. Because how did I dream the exact geography of Jamaica when I've never, ever looked into it in my life? And I'm assuming that canal is Trenchtown. The same Trenchtown from Trenchtown Rock.
That's so weird.
So, do you think I was Jamaican in a past life?
Maybe, but I'm more curious to why you're having the same dream for 20 years. I don't think I've ever had a dream that has reoccurred that much. I mean, actually, I don't remember my dreams very much anymore. Very rarely do I have some that I'm like, oh my god, I remember this dream. But I remember when I was little, I used to have like a couple of reoccurring ones, and they were all really weird. Like one of them, I'd be in like this like cave looking thing, and there'd be this like giant like stone ball like coming at me, and I'd have to like outrun it, and then like sometimes I'd be like on top of it running.
Oh no, you were just in the Indiana Jones movie with all females, since now apparently every old movie has to have a female version.
Totally. And then I used to have this dream where I'd be in an airplane and with Barney, and he'd push me out. Barney was not my friend.
Barney did not love you.
No. He was, like, but I had a parachute. But I remember like I'd like wake up like I like in my head I'd be like, and then I'd wake up, like, falling out of my bed, and I'd start crying. But that was, like, 20 years ago.
So we gotta find, either you were in Indiana Jones, or that place might possibly exist, because I didn't think, I thought these were places I made up in my head. The craziest thing is...
No, you don't make up things in your dreams, like...
It's your subconscious, it's your subconscious.
Like, you've probably seen it, like... There's no random face in your dreams. It's somebody's face that you've seen. You just don't know who.
I studied psychology and also metaphysics for years.
All right.
Let's get on. But yeah, but the weirdest... Yeah, still one last point about the whole Jamaica thing. I looked up to see if those bridges were real. The three bridges were identical to the bridges in my dream. From the structure, the foundation, everything was identical.
It's so crazy. Like, I don't know. Maybe you're just like that kid on TV.
And I tried to call a psychic, and I talked to one, and she was a complete bitch.
Probably because you wouldn't pay her.
Well, no, I wouldn't pay her. Okay, payback happened. WWE had payback on the WWE Network the Sunday that just passed. And I predicted every single match correctly. That is, if Derek won, and I'm pretty sure he did. I predicted every match correctly except for the pre-show match, so that doesn't count. And we had in the pre-show match... The new Mega Powers, Sandow and Axel. Curtis Axel pulled off a great Hulk Hogan. He looked like a young Hogan. It was good. It wasn't a great match or anything. The Ascension won. Nothing really special there. Tamina and Naomi defeated the Bellas. Bray Wyatt defeated Ryback, and apparently there are reports that Ryback was injured in that match. Like I said, I'm almost positive King Barrett defeated Neville. Sheamus defeated Dolph Ziggler in a 2 out of 3 falls match. This might have been one of my favorite. I love when there was the first fall, and Xavier tried to get in the ring, and he was like, Freebird rules! Right? Freebird rules? And he was completely ignored. Freebird rules, since you didn't watch wrestling in the 80s?
No.
It's when...
I wasn't even around in the 80s.
It's when you have three people who are a group, and they're the champions, and you never know who's going to defend the titles. And since it was a 2 out of 3 falls match, after the first fall, Xavier wanted to jump in and trade out with one of the other ones in the middle of the match, and the ref wouldn't let him.
Lame sauce.
It was a good match. The New Day retained. You have to explain to me how this match ended exactly. Okay. The I Quit.
Know.
Yeah, you do. The I Quit match for the WWE United States title, Rusev versus John Cena.
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
Well, Lana.
All I know is that
Lana and Rusev.
Rusev broke up with Lana. I don't know why.
No, he didn't break up with her.
Yes, he did.
This is Sunday.
Yeah, he broke up with her.
Or he told her, and what happened, and then.
And then, like, that was it. Like, he broke up with her that night.
But they were back together on Raw, and that's
no,
when they.
Not really.
Yeah, they were on Raw, and that was the official split. They looked like they were close to breaking up. They were screaming and yelling at
it. That's probably what it was then.
Yeah, they were screaming and yelling.
Like I said, I told you I didn't watch this very well.
Well, of course, because you had all the luxuries.
Like, sorry, I'm on vacation. I can watch this shit at home. I'm not going to watch it while I have the little time to myself that I do. No offense, wrestling fans, but I told y'all from the beginning, half-ass, which means I only half-ass watch things. Go figure.
So there was some kind of distraction, and that helped John Cena to win and retain the title. And I had written down very close to a breakup, which would actually happen the next night. And
I really thought he broke up with her that night.
You remember on Monday they were both in the ring together?
No.
And he said, I'm through with you. You told me about this because I didn't see that part. And then you said she was making out with Dolph Ziggler. I didn't see that either.
That's the only part that I saw. She was standing in the ring, and so is he. And she was being all, like, cutesy. And, like, she grabbed his head. And she looks him in the eyes. And then she just, like, slowly kisses him.
Because I'm not reviewing.
And then she doesn't say anything again.
I'm not reviewing Raw.
Right.
But
that's what happened.
Yeah.
And then they left the stage together. After Rusev, came out, and I don't know what happened there, but they left the ring together.
Yeah.
So apparently Lana and Dolph are a thing, and if that's the case, Lana moves on really fucking fast.
Yeah, right?
Skank. Russian skanks.
She's not
just
really.
Just kidding.
Lana's cool.
I mean, fuck.
She's
that's your prerogative. I'm not going to judge you for that. Even if it is a little weird, but you do you, girl.
It is a little weird, but it's actually a nice butt.
Who's? Lana. She does have a nice butt.
Yeah. And in the main event, it was a fatal 4-way for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I feel like I did not get my money's worth in this fatal 4-way, because fatal is in the title, and no one died. Seth Rollins won with the pedigree, and he is still your boyfriend.
Yep.
And he is still your WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
And he's still hot. Still hot.
And that is what went down on Sunday at Payback. So far, we have a few matches announced for the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, which will take place in less than 2 weeks. We have Sunday coming up. We have Raw coming up. And that's the go-home show to the pay-per-view. You have 2 weeks to build this pay-per-view.
That's crazy. But, how did they do that? Like, I don't understand. Why are they doing that?
Well, a lot of people are saying it's because of the vacation of the Daniel Bryan's championship.
Okay.
And so they're doing the Elimination Chamber. You know.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be for the to decide who's going to be the vacated champion. But they finally did something I've been saying since the Elimination Chamber started.
What's that?
They should have a tag team Elimination Chamber and have tag teams in all 4 pods.
That'd be cool.
So you have 6 tag teams.
Yeah.
And then you get there's so much action. If one tag team, I'm not sure how they're going to do it. If one tag team member gets eliminated, then the whole team is out.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's one by one, but I assume that it's going to be if the teams get one team gets pinned. So I'm really excited about that because I've been saying for about 10 years that they should do that, and finally, they're actually going to do it. I never thought they would ever do it, but this is going to be fun. And what's also was really going to be awesome, Kevin Owens is going to be taking on John Cena. Let me just start from the beginning. It'll be WWE Elimination Chamber taking place in less than 2 weeks from Corpus Christi, Texas. This was going to be a house show. They needed a way to find somebody to put the title on, and they instead said, hey, it's on a Sunday, and this venue allows the Elimination Chamber structure, because very few venues had the capabilities to hold such a huge metal structure. And so the matches that we're going to get are the Elimination Chamber match for the vacant Intercontinental Championship with King Barrett, R-Truth, Ryback, Rusev, Sheamus, and Dolph Ziggler. I don't really have a... I'm not going to make any predictions yet. And the match, finally, the Elimination Chamber for the WWE Tag Team Championships, the Champions New Day against the Primetime Players, against the Lucha Dragons, also against the Ascension, also against Cesaro and Kid, and also Los Matadores. Now, that's what I'm talking about. That's going to be too many people.
No. Can I just say that I think that New Day is just really weird because, like...
They're awesome.
Were like, no. They were, like, celebrating with champagne flutes with milk. They were like, oh, my God, we're so awesome. We don't curse. We don't do this, we don't do that, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, the dude comes and is like, well, just so you know, it's going to be, like, an Elimination Chamber with a bunch of other people. And they're like, what the hell? Blah, blah, blah. And, like, they completely went against, like, everything that they, like, supposed
that's
to stand for.
That's
and
why
I was like...
That's why they're so awesome. That's so awesome.
So they really stand for nothing, then.
They want you to clap. New Day rocks. And they start doing that, and the New Day Sucks thing is over like Rover. If anyone has a dog named Rover that got run over, I completely apologize.
At least Grandma didn't get run over. Remember that?
Grandma got ran over by a reindeer.
Well, you know.
And also, this is awesome. Well, they're teasing a World Heavyweight title match, but it's not confirmed, and that will be Dean Ambrose against your boyfriend, yep. Seth Rollins.
Can I say it just looked really, really sexy in his suit? I don't know what was going on because the TV was muted, but he looked damn good.
Yeah, I said, you're going to have to do a lot of talking because my head hurts.
Yeah, and I asked if I could just talk about how hot Seth Rollins was for 5 minutes, and you told me no.
You could talk about how good-looking I am for 5 minutes.
You're really good-looking, too.
Damn right. And John Cena versus Kevin Owens.
That's going to be good, except I still hate John Cena, but I like Kevin Owens. So
I like how John Cena's doing the open challenge thing.
I just hate the fact that he looks like a... like. Chiseled fake person, and plus his upper lip bothers me. It's way too thin.
Yeah, he has a weird upper lip.
He looks like a turtle.
Kevin Owens has commented on this upcoming pay-per-view match against Cena. Owens tweeted the following:
I have
never let people tell me what I can and can't do, and I never will. Hashtag Elimination Chamber, I will beat at John Cena. That's what Kevin almost called him Steen again.
Lols.
As far as Samoa Joe going to NXT, there was a press conference a few days ago, and Samoa Joe's name was brought up. Triple H addressed how Samoa Joe had recently visited the Performance Center. Triple H praised Samoa Joe's work and said he was pressed with Joe at the Performance Center. You should see current pictures of Samoa Joe. When somebody wants something, they'll work at it.
Why, and, is he, like, skinny or something?
In TNA, you remember how out of shape he was at the end?
No.
In TNA?
I didn't watch TNA.
But you watched Samoa Joe, though.
I don't remember that. Anyways, he was big and fat. Okay, now he's not so big and fat.
Well, he's still, I mean, he's always going to be a husky dude.
But he's not at all big and fat.
Yeah. But he noted that he was at the center a month or two ago, but they only spoke for about 5 minutes, and that was kind of just exchanging pleasantries, whatever that means.
Like, hi, hello, how are you? How are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, good, good, man, good, good. Blah, blah, blah.
Triple H also added that he wasn't sure if WWE and Samoa Joe would be doing business, but he did not rule out the possibility. I think Joe will be seen in NXT because if he's getting himself back into shape and he had a good showing at the Performance Center, I think once he's done with his indie bookings, he's going straight back to Orlando.
Maybe once he reaches a goal weight, too.
Yeah, that's true. He might have a goal weight. And as I said earlier, I am sick, so this show might be a little bit shorter. TNA news. Apparently, what channel are they on? Destination America is not too pleased with TNA.
No shit.
And they're giving them 6 months to get their shit together, and if not, they can terminate their contract.
Like, what are they so pissed off about, though?
Low viewership.
Okay.
But no one has that channel.
No one has that channel. Like, no one in their market has that channel. Like, did they do any research before? Like,
and also, Friday nights are a bad night to put on a wrestling show.
Absolutely.
Unless it's a live wrestling show you're going to. That's, you know.
But, like, did TNA even do any research as to, like, why this even made sense for them to go to
that channel? Like, it's like Redneck Blood, Swamp Monsters. Can we find Bigfoot? Where's...
I mean, don't get me wrong. That totally actually does fit in there.
Why? Because TNA is so far-fetched?
Because it's all bad.
But the thing is, don't you feel bad for the wrestlers? Because these dudes...
I mean, I do, because some of them are actually, like, really talented. Like, EC3 was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, EC3 is entertaining.
But, their creative sucks.
Their high flyers are great. Their, like, aerial guys are great, but, like Austin Aries, of course, is awesome.
Right. Right, but...
Bobby Roode's a really good wrestler, but the thing is, all these guys are doing, they're just being wasted.
I don't think that... I think a lot of them don't even want to be there. I think that's part of the problem. I think that there's a lot going on behind the scenes concerning, like, how employees are treated.
Yeah, the morale backstage.
I think that is very low morale.
Yeah.
I think that the company has lied to them a lot about certain things, especially, during their uncertainty. I'm sorry, when you're that big of a business and, like, you're that close to, like, risking somebody's, like, way of living, like, or, like, their job or their life so much, like, you can't sit there and lie about so much BS. Like, you can't pretend like everything's hunky-dory. You have to be open and honest and transparent, and that's just business 101. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you're right.
I is. Why they call my mama. I'm so glad that song's gone.
Let's talk about some sex-related stuff. So, apparently, Sunny, even though she's denying it, Sunny is apparently going to work with adult entertainment company Vivid Video, your favorite porn production.
My God, it's just because it's the one that's, like, most, like, I guess celebrity-centered. Like, they released Kim Kardashian's, they released... No, actually, I don't think they released One Night in Paris. I think that was another one. But they released China's. They released
One Night
in Abraham.
They released Backdoor to China. But I love this quote from them.
They released Backdoor Team Mom. See, they're very creative people when it comes to titling their porn. Just saying.
Don't tell people about that one porn video you found.
Which one?
Skateboard Sluts? Whatever it was.
I don't remember. Like, your porn video or whatever? Skateboard Sluts.
Whatever it was called. Something like that.
You're so seen. You're so seen.
Yeah, I'm Oh, you're actually making me laugh, and this is making me feel better physically. Thank you.
You're welcome.
TMZ is saying Sitch will have a monster porn contract in place, which is said to be a six-figure deal for a number of films. Vivid, as we already said, is the one who produced Backdoor to China. Steve Hirsch, head of Vivid, was quoted as saying, and I find this the funniest quote I'll probably read whole show, and I quote from Steve Hirsch, "After the tremendous success of China, this makes total sense. Hoping we can work it out."
More butt sex.
Sitch denied reports earlier this week about the contract, saying it was nonsense and anyone who contacted her about it would be blocked from her social media accounts. Vivid maintains that the deal could happen very soon and shooting could start almost immediately.
Well, isn't she already doing sex shit? Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. How can she be above
doing porn?
Porn.
When like, she's, these dudes could, like,
she's doing really Skype videos.
And, like, those dudes are probably filming them and selling them. Yeah. Like, I fucking would, unless it's in, like, a contract that they can't.
Well, yeah, do you remember the episode where Rage and I found pictures online of her, and it was just looked like a grandma masturbating? Like, it was just,
oh, my God, no, I don't think I saw those.
You were on that episode, but I think you walked out the room.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't finish what my main point was about TNA. They're moving to Wednesdays.
That should help. Maybe.
No, it shouldn't help. Do you know why?
No.
Because on Wednesdays, you have one of my favorite podcasts, Impact Player Phil Rea and Dave Megapowers, Turnbuckle Throwbacks. On Wednesdays, you also have Lucha Underground.
Oh.
On Wednesdays, you also have NXT.
Oh. So they have a lot of competition.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So do you think Destination America is going to be happy with that?
No.
Do you think?
But wait, who is giving them these time slots though? Like, is anybody doing any research about this shit? No. What's wrong with you people?
Where's Billy?
Thursday. I don't know.
Where's Billy?
Thursday.
Who's Billy Thursday?
I don't know. I should doing that silly thing that WWE did when they moved to Thursdays.
Thursday. My
Thursday. Oh, Thursday.
That was me. My Thursday was better.
Well, you wanted, like, someone girly, so I did it.
My Thursday was better than WWE's. See you on Thursday, all right, guys? Yeah, but that was pretty much my main point about TNA. Let's see. Scott Hall was on the Global Force roster, which...
And then he wasn't.
And then he wasn't.
Spoiler alert!
But the weird thing is, if you go on Google and type in GFW roster, a page comes up that says Global Force Wrestling roster, and if you click on it, it's a blank page. But at least a lot of people are shitting all over this. I mean, it is a lot of indie guys, but give them a chance to at least have a show first, because, I mean, they have guys on their roster like, I mean, like, one of my favorite wrestlers is on their roster. Hometown boy, the King of New Orleans himself, Luke. Luke Hawks is signed to Global Force Wrestling. And also, another awesome wrestler who they have signed is... They sound moose.
Juice.
But yeah, going back, Scott Hall has been removed from Global Force roster. As noted,
why is he too fucked up still?
He was clean for a year straight. And that's what Jake said. It's just the bump of the road for him. He'll get back on his feet. Well, he can't wrestle, so why was he on the roster? Which is another thing I want to know. He had hip replacement surgery.
Oh, God, yeah, there's no way.
His son should wrestle for them. If they say they want fresh blood, that's what people are complaining about. They want fresh blood. They should get Cody Hall to wrestle, because he's getting good really fast. But, yeah, Scott Hall was escorted out of an indie show over the weekend by security because he was so intoxicated.
So he is back to being an addict again.
Yeah, Global Force has...
So sad.
I know, because Global Force has not released any official statement on his status. Adam Pearce, Scrap Iron, former Ring of Honor champion, has been signed to WWE to be a trainer and producer, which is awesome. I'm not sure if any of y'all have ever seen the Wrestling Road Diaries with Colt Cabana and Daniel Bryan going from town to town before Daniel went on with WWE. But Adam Pearce, you can see him backstage helping set up the show, and you can tell this dude knows his stuff. So, I mean, this is when he was running things behind the scenes at Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor was awesome. And so, to bring him, and he is a really tough dude, hence the name Scrap Iron. He's a tough guy. He's actually a really, really nice guy. I met him during WrestleMania. And so, it looks like Adam Pearce will work as, he actually has worked for WWE in the past as a producer, but he will be a trainer and a producer. So that means you should see some noticeable improvements, just like you noticed when Cara Del Rey was brought on. You noticed that the women's matches started getting better. Do you not agree? Since they brought Cara Del Rey in?
I don't know who she is.
That's Cesaro's wife.
I don't see a face. You have to remember, I usually work two jobs, so I don't get to see these people.
You haven't seen her in like 3 years when she was on the indie scene.
I haven't seen her. I just don't know who she is.
You saw her, but it was like 3 years ago. You don't really retain, especially with all this indie wrestling that I watch, you don't really retain.
Mm-mm.
You have room for about 20 wrestlers in your head, and that's it.
I just choose to only have room for 20 in my head, because the other rest I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Like I said, half-assed. I'm only going to pay attention half-assedly.
Let's get into... Oh, I'm not sure if I should go into it. Yeah, let's go in this order. WWE signs MMA fighter to NXT deal. WWE has signed MMA fighter Jism Salami.
Jism Salami?
Jism Salami.
Wait. Is that really this person's name?
What does it say?
Zim Salamani?
No, that's Jism Salami. Ladies and gentlemen, and his opponent, with a record of 4-2, Jism Salami.
No, I'm pretty sure the G is
silent. The G sign, it's Zim Salmani.
Salmani.
He has a 4-2 MMA record.
He hasn't fought very long.
No, but...
So what, did they just, like, trade dudes? They're like, oh, we're going to take Punk, and you can have this random kid.
Yeah, they're like, take this guy. He's a big dude. I don't know.
I mean, I get that, like, Punk's in UFC or whatever, but same thing.
Yeah. I don't get how they're going to really work that out, how well he's going to work out, but we'll just have to... With everything, time will tell. ROH. I'm going to run down this indie news, and I'm going to... Well, I'm surprised I made it this far without having to run to the bathroom. Are you impressed?
I guess. I don't know. I didn't know that you had a bathroom problem.
Did you not remember...
I do, but, like, I didn't know you had one that badly.
Good thing this is an audio show, because it's... Maybe good thing it's... I wish it was a video. People probably would have laughed if they saw it.
You could do a video. You could just release it at the same time that... does. Of course, then it might take me a little longer to get in, because I'm like, no, I have to do my
makeup. Yeah, you would have to get all dolled up and stuff. So ROH has issued the following. They have re-signed a talent. Ring of Honor would like to welcome back to their roster. Quinn, Moose, Ojinaka to a new contract, the talented offensive lineman who I hung out with at WrestleMania. He's cool as hell. Awesome dude. This is the coolest thing, and I know I've probably said this story, I repeat myself. Moose wanted to be a wrestler initially, and he said his football scholarship kind of got in the way.
The NFL got in the way.
The NFL, no, he didn't even say the scholarship. He said the NFL got in the way. So he made enough money playing football to where he could just retire from the NFL and use that money to put towards his training and that and afford to do those indie shows and still be financially sound.
Yep.
That's why I'm a huge fan of Moose very quickly. He's around 6'5", 295 pounds. He's high in demand right now. He's a graduate of Syracuse University. He made his first Ring of Honor appearance, which was extremely awkward, last June at Best in the World, which was the first live pay-per-view in Ring of Honor company history. It says that will be a big part of Ring of Honor's return to pay-per-view when they'll be in New York City. He will be in the main event in a triple threat. Wait, no, not the main event. Semi-main event. Ring of Honor Wrestling presents Best in the World 2015 live on pay-per-view Friday, June 19th, 2015 from Terminal 5, 610 West 56th Street in New York, New York. Doors open at 7:30 p.m., bell time 9. Main event title for title. ROH World Champion versus ROH World TV Champion. World Champion Jay Briscoe versus Television Champion Jay Lethal with Truth Martini. Jay Lethal has held that Television Championship since the Ring of Honor show that I went to.
So for like a year?
Over a year. It was WrestleMania weekend. It was the Friday before WrestleMania, I think. So he's held it. It was a Friday before WrestleMania 30 is when he won.
Nice.
So he's had it for over a year. And that's the only two matches announced, but it'll be on pay-per-view, iPay-per-view, and video on demand. With other indie news, credit to Wiggy for sending me this. On May 9th, CZW had Proving Grounds, which was a show that I really enjoyed. You had the returning Nick Gage, who looks like he actually built up some muscle while he was in jail. Gulak won the match after rolling up Gage. It was a really close match. Nick Gage complained and said he kicked out and started screaming. He still looks like a redneck bum. It was still cool. I wasn't expecting this to be an opening match. I expected it to be a violent match because Nick Gage's wrestling, no disrespect to him, isn't very flashy. It's kind of limited. He's more of a hit you with a light bulb kind of guy than actual. But there was a lot of actual wrestling in this match. For the honorary junior heavyweight title, these matches bore me to death. Because I would like to see high-flying matches. And the plus-size champion Greg Excellent with Chrissy Rivera defeated Alexander James to retain the titles. James has been a little bit more vicious and aggressive, not so flashy. He got pissed off at the two dudes who come to him with the ring. It was a big schmoz between his security team and Greg. He turned around into a tiger driver from Greg Excellent, who retained the championship. Pepper Parks with his wife Cherry Bomb defeated Joey Janela and Caleb Conley in a triple threat match. There was a really cool triple superplex spot After a ref bump, we saw Parks take both men out with shots from the belt that Cherry Bomb had won earlier in the day. She had won Cherry Bomb earlier that day, won the WSU women's, well, the WSU title. WSU is all women. It's all women promotion. And so he hit both them, Janela and Conley, with the belt. So Pepper Parks picked up the win in that triple threat match. Sozio, a new Sozio, not the asshole jerk Sozio. We had some interference from the front, and Sozio with another sneak roll up. So you've got basically three distraction type matches. And then we had the Beaver Boys teaming up. No, the Beaver Boys going against Bucks Belmar and Bill Carr. Dan Barry is apparently injured. And it was weird. Bucks Belmar is normally, like, his thing is he's a dirty, filthy heroin addict kind of guy. Like, he's pretty much like a, you know, like, smacked out. That's his whole thing, and he's dirty. Well, they cleaned him up and put him in nice, normal clothes. And I think he had a flashback and flipped out again towards the end of the match. And it was too much. And Beaver Boys won the match. And guess what they won the match with?
Jesus.
A roll-up.
My answer was cooler.
They won the match with Jesus, yes. Jesus came to the ring, gave Beaver Boys the assist, and they won. So, best friend Alex and John Silver, Beaver Boys, won the match. This was kind of convoluted. One of my recent favorites for the this match was match number 6. It was for the Wired title. Speedball Mike Bailey versus Joe Gacy. They need to take that title off of Joe Gacy. The Wired title is supposed to be like the light, like a cruiserweight title. Joe Gacy's a big dude. And he tried one dive over the top rope, and his legs got hooked, and he pretty much just did a stumble over the top rope. It was one of the worst dives I've ever seen in wrestling history. So he needs to drop that title and wrestle like a big man. He's short, but he's thick. So Speedball Mike Bailey won, but it was by disqualification. Because AR Fox came in and attacked Speedball and caused the DQ. He beat down Mike Bailey because Bailey had won the Best of the Best tournament the month prior, and AR Fox was upset because he had been in the Best of the Best tournament several times and never won, and this was Speedball's only second time being in the Best of the Best, and he won the whole tournament. And AR Fox was pissed about that the new guy just came in and won, and AR Fox has been busting it for years. And, you know, so he just came in jealous AR Fox. Match of the night, Trevor Lee defeated Andrew Everett. It's hard to sum this up. You kind of have to see this match. Lee gets the win. There was all kinds of crazy foot stomps, amazing spots. This match was so good. Andrew Everett did a running shooting star where he stopped and balanced himself on the top rope and did a shooting star to the outside onto Everett. Rolled Everett into the ring, then did a shooting star press springboard off of the ropes on into the inside of the ring onto Everett. This was crazy. Oh, what else happened? Trevor Lee got the win, but this match was so good. Check out there's probably a Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett match somewhere on YouTube. I recommend go check out Trevor Lee or Andrew Everett. These dudes are awesome. David Starr, former Juicy Product member, there was a split between him and JT Dunn, and we haven't seen JT Dunn, I said it twice, in a long time. David Starr is out, and he calls out Joe Gacy, saying that he deserves a shot at the Wired Championship. Then Shane Strickland returns, Swerve himself. Shane Strickland, who is a spoiler alert, he is Killshot in Lucha Underground. That's why he was away for a while. They fight, and then JT Dunn comes in through the crowd and lays out David Starr, and he says he is going to run David Starr out of this business. For the CZW World Heavyweight Championship, we saw Black Cheese defeat Matt Tremont to retain. This was brutal. They had the biggest spot in this match was there was a guardrail set up between the guardrail and the ring, and then two chairs with a ladder on top of that. So you had ladders. You had a ladder with chairs on it that are on top of a steel guardrail. And Black Jesus. I'm trying to think how he went through it. Pepper Parks came out with Cherry Bomb as Tremont was about to finish off Jeez with a big splash from the top rope. And Matt Tremont took a horrible bump onto the ladder and the guardrail and the chairs. I think Jeez hit Jesus Walks, and he retained the title. And in the final match of the night, it was a Panes of Glass death match. Danny Havoc versus Wrench Connor Claxton. This was insane. Claxton was covered with blood. I haven't seen something so bloody. They broke about 10... panes of glass. Post-match, Lucky 13 and Devin Moore brought out Connor Claxton's official NOI jersey, which means Connor Claxton has proven himself by going through so much punishment, and he is now an official member of the Nation of Intoxication. Okay, and after this happened, OI4K and Eric Ryan ran out. I haven't seen Eric Ryan in forever. NOI got beat down until the Wrench chased them off, and that was it. Oh, and I'm feeling sick. I'm feeling sick.
Oh, my.
Can you read this?
What am I reading?
Just sit there.
Announce combats for the 14th annual TOD.
Tournament of Death.
Whatever. Bulldozer Matt Tremont. Josh Crane. Ricky Shane Page. Ron Mathis. Oh, I don't even know this dude. It's like O14K's Jake Chris. NOI's Danny Havoc. I don't know. I probably screwed that up.
No, that was close. Yeah, those are the people. Danny Havoc, Jake Chris, Ron Mathis, Ricky Shane Page, Josh Crane and Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, as well as DJ Hyde versus Connor Claxton versus Nick Gage. Can you open? Wait, fuck.
Let's see, why are you going to make me open something? I have no upper body strength, mister. Oh my God, look how big my muscle's getting.
Shut up. Shut up.
Oh my God, look at what I flexed.
I'm going to have to wrap this up really soon. Can you see my face?
Yeah.
What's happening to it?
Sweating? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to have to... Oh, I had so much more, but also you're going to see Devin Moore and OI4K's Dave Crist. That's going to be a scaffold mesh. I'm going to have to wrap this indie news up short. At CZW's next event, you'll see the return of the Young Bucks in a triple threat match against the Beaver Boys and Team Tremendous. So I guess... Dan Barry should be healed up by then if they're going to have that three-way. And also David Starr against Shane Strickland. On Saturday, May 16th, in Metairie, Louisiana, Wildcat presented Heating Up, which is clearly a pun as to Booker T and Stevie Ray, the Harlem Heat, trying to invade Wildcat. Oh my god, I'm sweating so bad. I'm gonna do it anyway. Okay, I'm just gonna get through this. I appreciate everyone's the Hulk listeners so much, but I need to get in a bed. I'm shaking and I'm sweating and okay. Enough about me. Brett and Brittany opened the show with hype. In our opening match, we got a treat. Vordell Walker defeated Benny Factor from Australia with a spinning face buster. And I have a new wrestling friend in Vordell Walker. Buku Dao and Stevie Richards defeated the Mysterious Q and Ryan Davidson when Buku hit the takeout box from the corner, which is basically R-Truth's finisher from the second rope. I don't even know if that's the right name for it. I just call it that because he has all the takeout. Wait, what is he?
Chinese takeout box?
Sure. What is his move called?
The Lo Main?
The Lo Main? No, that's actually A.R. Fox's name. Which,
the Lo Main?
The Lo Main Pain.
Oh. I don't know. The General Sal?
General Pow?
General Pow. I guess.
We're not being racist because the most racist person to Buku Dao is himself.
Weird.
You know that. You've heard his promos.
Yeah. He always, like, as an Asian, he just tends to be very, very typical. Like, social type.
Steve Anthony, you hurt my feeling. He's great. We had a tag team women's match. Cinema from Booker T's Reality of Wrestling and another girl whose name I didn't catch after a screwy finish beat Amaya Jade and Katie Forbes. Can you read this?
We had a six-man scramble for the number one contendership for the Revolution Championship. Kurt Matthews versus Ricky Starks versus Jay Spade versus Danny Flamingo versus One Man Mike Dell versus Corey Constantine. Mike Dell won with a flying elbow on two opponents. For the Wildcat Championship, we had Bestia 666 successfully.
It was the Revolution Championship.
I'm sorry, the Revolution Championship. Bestia 666 successfully retained against Purple Haze. Match of the night for the third show in a row. Luke Hawks was set to face off against his former student, Sakaro, when he was jumped by Booker's goons backstage. So we got no Luke Hawks match. And he also, as we said earlier, contracted to GFW.
So congratulations to Luke.
For sure. Next, we had a triple threat match. Jay Bradley versus Lance Archer versus Steve Anthony. Really good. Really awesome. Steve won with a 450. And in the main event, we had the Wildcat champion, Shane Taylor, take on Stevie Ray of the Harlem Heat. Good in-ring match. Stevie Ray is still in great shape. Shane Taylor is a fucking beast. And after many shenanigans, your winner and new Wildcat champion is Stevie Ray. It was a bit of a shock.
Huge shocker. Stevie Ray returned after 10 years of hardly any in-ring competition. He had a few matches with Booker T at Reality of Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you see taking? But yeah, can you believe Stevie Ray of the Harlem Heat? You know, the guy who was WCW 95? He's the champion. He is the Wildcat champion.
Crazy.
So who do you think? Okay, yeah, finish.
And then the ROW guys stomped down Taylor after the match before Hayes, Constantine, Jay, Bradley, Buku, and Stevie came out in clean house, furthering the story. It was an awesome show. It had over 1,000 people in attendance. Be sure to check out Wildcat Sports. Check them out online. They have an Instagram account. It's really fun. Check them out. Select them on Facebook. And, you know, if you have any independent scenes around you, like, definitely go and support that. You never know who one day you might see become a star.
Great job. Okay, that Gatorade made me feel better.
All right.
Thank you for doing the Wildcat Report.
Faux show.
Okay, and this is the last thing I want to talk about. Wait, that much. Okay, this is the last thing I'm going to talk about. But I wanted you to hear this.
Have pee.
Okay. I want to apologize to everybody for not being able to deliver the highest quality show right now. But I'm trying as hard as I possibly can. And the last thing I wanted to talk about was what Vince... This is going to be the new closing segment of the show. I guess this is going to be the new closing segment of the show. What stupid thing did Vince Russo say this week? Okay, but I really wanted Lexi V to talk about this with me. But can you believe, though, Stevie Ray is a champion and a prestigious independent promotion? I still can't believe Stevie Ray is the world champion of my home promotion. Just crazy shit. And then the final thing, like I said, I think this is going to be maybe a thing. What did Vince? This is going to be a new closing segment. What did Vince Russo say stupid this week? Because we did that 2 weeks ago when he all the crap he said about Sami Zayn. Well, he said a little bit more.
Oh, okay.
And do you remember when Sami Zayn wrestled? Did you watch that Raw?
Which one?
Oh, no, you didn't see it. You were working.
Yep.
When he threw his arm out.
No, I was working. I just heard about it.
They were doing ole, 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 ole chants all night before he even came out.
Wow.
Okay, so here is the blog that Vince Russo wrote. When Sami Zayn first came out to the WWE Universe on a national stage, there was no impact. The guy was presented as just another wrestler. I don't care what anybody says. In a year, nobody will remember that debut. Nobody will remember the debut of former El Generico Sami Zayn in his hometown of Montreal?
Wait, what?
Let me say that one more time. This is what Vince Russo wrote. When Sami Zayn first came out to the WWE Universe on a national stage, there was no impact. The guy was presented as just another wrestler. I don't care what anybody says, in a year, nobody will remember that debut. The crowd was going nuts with Ole chants.
And then the home guy was so excited that he threw his arm out. You just don't throw your arm out for nothing.
Yeah, in his hometown.
Yeah.
And he was so pumped he threw his arm out. And despite that, the referee had to pop his shoulder back in place mid-match. And he is such a trooper, he still put on an awesome match. But you've seen El Generico matches where he's done all the wild stuff, how he'll dive through the corner ropes to the outside and things like that.
Right.
He hurt his arm so bad he had to hold on to the metal post to do that move, right?
Damn.
But he still did. And it was so weird because you can see when he was walking up the entrance ramp after Cena shook his hand. Mm-hmm. He told Cena, you could see him, he mouthed it, you could see him say, "That sucked."
Aww.
Because every Sami Zayn match, every El Generico match, is normally kick ass and awesome.
Well,
you know,
I mean, like, homeboy fucked up his shoulder and he's still
performed.
Like, yeah, I might have been at the top, but considering what he did and how he still continued, he's got to give himself some props for that.
So, do you agree with Russo saying that?
No.
Do you think a year from now people will remember Sami Zayn's debut on Raw?
Probably so. It was a painful one.
And the crowd in the hometown, and it was against John Cena.
Are they just putting all the new dudes against John Cena now? Is that a thing?
Yeah, because they had Neville, and then he's going to be facing Sting. Yeah, he's going to be facing Owens.
Yeah.
Oh, and the thing about the names that you were asking me, completely switched, jumping from the Rusev thing. Russo. When you asked about do they get to pick their names, when they make them change their names, like right. they, like how they change Kenta to Hideo Itami,
right.
and Pac, they change Pac to Neville, mm-hmm. and Kevin Steen to Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about certain people have say. Kenta actually had say in Hideo Itami, to change his name to Hideo Itami, which is a tribute to Hideo, which I believe was the Japanese pitcher Nomo. I hope that's his name. I'm pretty sure that's his name, his first name, Hideo Nomo. And Itami is apparently a city in Japan that is very close to Kenta's heart, so he chose that, and Kevin chose to be Kevin Owens because his favorite wrestler was Owen Hart, and his son's name is Owen. Get it?
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Sure.
Okay, let's get back to what the stupid stuff Vince Russo said. The guy was presented as just another wrestler. I don't care what anybody says. In a year, nobody will remember that debut. Prior to that was the Ascension. That was so laughable, you, in quotations, almost have to think it was intentional. Of course the Ascension was a complete goof. I mean, I don't think it was supposed to be funny, but of course it was just not going to work. Two Mad Max-type guys. That's why I made fun of them the week after they debuted with the prescription. It's the prescription, and it's time to take your medicine. Ah. Of course the Ascension, okay, the Ascension haven't been wrestling for over 13 years in every part of the world, in every continent. Sami Zayn has.
Crazy.
Then it was followed with then it was followed with Neville. Wow, that guy can really get height off the top. But then you forgot it by the next week. No, you didn't. Neville is now a featured part of Raw.
Oh.
He's on... You notice... You see... He's on Raw every week now.
I work on Mondays. I don't know these things. I'm sorry. I can't watch it.
Then, of course, this week there was Kevin Owens, a guy who looked like he just came from a Gleason's gym where he was training to be an, in quotes, wrestler. Owens didn't look like a star. He didn't smell like a star. I didn't know Vince Russo was there and walked up to him and smelled him.
That's just a little creepy.
He didn't smell like a star.
What, does he have smell-o-vision that we don't?
No, he's just... He has blinders, definitely, on his
obviously.
Eye. Yeah. As a matter of fact, he looked like a guy that could have possibly jumped a guardrail. Which reminds me, I still remember Hillbilly Jim when he was presented as somebody the first time we saw him on TV. And Owens dropping Cena, that did nothing but make the 115... It's 15, stupid. Okay, it says this... Owens dropping Cena, that did nothing but make the 115-time world champ look bad. John Cena's actually been the champion 15 times, not 115.
No.
So, come on, Vince Russo. That did nothing to make Cena look good. Save your hate mail. This isn't a Kevin Owens thing. Sure sounds like it. This isn't a Sami Zayn thing. Just like it wasn't an Adrian Neville thing. Just like it wasn't an Ascension thing. Now, the Ascension is on a completely different plane than where Neville, Owens, and Sammy are. Those are three incredible... Like, these guys are the future. It's... Do you remember what you... This is the exact same shit he said about Daniel Bryan. When I see Daniel Bryan, I see somebody who looks like a regular guy who everybody's gonna forget about.
Okay, you know what? Maybe the regular guy thing is actually...
working. Because... You know what works is when Kevin Owens whoops somebody's ass, and they're all just completely fucked up, because he just like annihilated them.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks down at them and he goes, I did this for my family! Like, that's a real connection. Like, he did some crazy shit and whooped your ass, but he's only doing it because he loves his family so much. Like, he has a wife and kids.
I get that, but what does that have to do with anything in the storyline?
Because within storyline, the further you get, the further you move up the roster, the more money you make. And so he's saying, it's not personal. Right. It's just he's just pushing his way through.
Olympia. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
So he can have a good life for his family. And so that's like the regular guy thing, and I think it actually works. Okay. He goes on to say, like, it wasn't a Neville thing, it wasn't an Owens thing, it wasn't a Zayn thing. Just like it wasn't an Ascension thing. Those guys are strictly employees who get paid to do what the boss says and go out and do. That boss is Vince McMahon. Somewhere along the line, shortly after the Attitude Era, what a coincidence, he says. The Attitude Era, that's a whole different... I'll show you where that is later. The Attitude... he said, somewhere along the line, shortly after the Attitude Era... What a coincidence. After the Attitude Era is when they fired Russo. Mm-hmm. And then he went to TNA and started doing all these crazy things. Mm-hmm. The reason Vince Russo worked well in WWE Creative is because he would come up with 200 or something ideas and then give them to Vince and give them to like the head writers. Mm-hmm. And they would pick three of those 200 ideas and three of them would be good. When he went to TNA, they thought he was just strictly just cranking those out. So they let him use all of his stupid ideas,
wow.
Which is why you would get Fire Russo chants from at TNA shows. And so it sounds like somebody is bitter as hell. He says shortly after the Attitude, what a Attitude Era, what a coincidence! Like, whoa, look right when I left, Vince McMahon was out of touch. Right, somewhere along the line, shortly after the Attitude Era, what a coincidence. Attitude Era. Vince McMahon forgot how to make stars. So Russo is saying he was the one who was making stars.
Who?
What stars did he make?
Yeah.
He made The Godfather, the Godfather, who's the pimp.
Obviously.
Ho Train.
Not memorable.
Memorable. He's memorable, but he was a pimp. It was a guy who had like six different gimmicks, and they just gave him a pimp gimmick.
Okay, but like, he's not a name that's like still recognizable today. Like, everyone knows The Rock. Everyone knows.
He had nothing to do with
exactly.
Austin.
Exactly.
He had nothing to do with Cena. Exactly. He had nothing to do with Orton. He had nothing to do with Batista.
Exactly.
He had nothing to do at all with Brock Lesnar.
Daniel Bryan.
And then he gets to Daniel Bryan. And I like, he sounds so damn bitter by saying this. Somewhere along the line, shortly after the Attitude Era, what a coincidence, Vince McMahon forgot how to make stars. He forgot how to create them, how to manufacture them, and how to get them over. When you think about it, who has gotten over to superstardom in the last 15 years? I'm talking household names. In my opinion, that list is quite small. As a matter of fact, I'd put two people on it, Kurt Angle and John Cena.
I would not put Kurt Angle on there because it's not a very common name. Like, I didn't hear about it until wrestling.
Yeah.
Until you came in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
The Rock, John Cena, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Those are the three you're going to name.
Dude, he's delusional and bitter. And he goes... Okay, I will even allow you to put the beloved Daniel Bryan on there if you wish. But his success had nothing to do with creative other than being given the platform to perform. Daniel Bryan was successful because he has this likable thing about him, mm-hmm. and he's great in the ring, which is so odd that you would say you would put Daniel Bryan on that list when Daniel Bryan is from the same crop of guys that Kevin is from, that Sammy is from, and that Neville is from. And So is that not contradiction right there?
Yeah, totally.
These are all regular guys everybody will forget about. Well, that's what Russo said about Daniel Bryan 3 years ago. And like how he said, we'll even put your beloved Daniel Bryan on there. But his success had nothing to do with creative other than given the platform to perform. So that's your stupid shit that Vince Russo said this week. He is clearly delusional, contradicting himself, and bitter that he doesn't work for WWE anymore.
Basically.
He's been sending them, he sends them letters like, remember back in the old days when we used to sit and say,
they're probably like, Virginia doesn't have, why is he obsessed with me?
Yeah, it's like that. It's like Vince McMahon's like the crazy boyfriend.
Why do they just send Mariah Carey so obsessed with me all the time? Why are you so obsessed with me?
They should anytime he sends them a letter, they should just send him the Mariah Carey CD back. This is the single.
Sorry, you left this in your office. You buy the same damn song.
So yeah, that's. I can't. Wait, I'm ready to wrap this up. I can't believe I actually got.
End it with that.
I already have a song I'm ending it with.
You should totally end it with "Why You're So Obsessed with Me."
I'm not doing any more. Physical.
Okay, well, hurry up.
So, I want to thank everyone. Make sure you listen to all the programs on rantemradio.com, including on Monday, that awful podcast at 7, Freaks and Fucking Geeks Live with Rage and Lee at 11:15. Pre and post shows for every purposeful thing. As well as pre and post shows for every pay-per-view, you can listen to The Rant, the flagship program of this network, Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with AA and Tony C. Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 on Wednesday with Dave and Phil. On Thursdays, this program, The Rexplex at 7, and Rant and Wrestling following this program at 9. On Saturdays, The Wrestling Call-In Show with William Morgan, live at 11 p.m. And on Sundays, the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer and Jordan Cobb at 5. I want to thank everyone for listening to this physically painful version of the Rexplex, but I had to crank this out. I told this to AA earlier. I love the rant. I have to at least give something, even if I'm in this shape. But I have to immediately move from this chair to a bed and probably remain there the rest of the night. I want to say thank you to everyone for listening. I always appreciate it, and I appreciate all the feedback I get. It really means a lot to me when I get feedback from you guys. Stay positive. Love your life. Take care of yourself and someone else. Lexi V, I want to thank you. This has been the Rexplex. I have been your host, Rex Watson. Have a great evening, everybody. Zip it in and zip it out.
No joke, I used to let the mic smoke. Now I slam it when I'm done and make sure it's broke. When I'm gone, no one gets on, cause I won't let nobody press up and mess up the scene I set. I like to stand in a crowd and watch the people wonder, damn. But think about it, then you understand. I'm just an addict, addicted to music. Maybe it's a habit, I gotta use it. Even if it's jazz or the quiet storm, I hook a beat up, convert it into hip-hop form. Write a rhyme and graffiti in every show you see me in. Deep concentration, cause I'm no comedian. Jokers are wild, if you wanna be tame. I treat you like a child and you're gonna be named another enemy, not even a frenemy. Cause you'll get fried in the end when you pretend to be competing. Cause I just put your mind on pause and I complete when you compare my rhyme with yours. I wake you up and as I stare in your face, you seem stunned. Remember me, the one you got your idea from. But soon you start to suffer, the tune will get rougher. When you start to stutter, that's when you had enough of fighting it'll make you choke. You can't provoke, you can't cope. You should have broke because I ain't no joke. Joke. It's serious as cancer. Who can keep the average dancer hyper as a heart attack? Nobody smiling, cause you're expressing the rhyme that I'm styling. This is what we all sit down and write. You can't make it, so you're taking home, break it and bite. Use pieces and bits of all my hip-hop hits. Get the style down, packed in, it's time to switch. Put my tape on pause and add some more to yours. Then you figured you're ready for the neighborhood chores. The E-M-C-E-E, don't even try to be. When you come up to speak, don't even lie to me. You like to exaggerate, dream and imagine. Then change the rhyme around, that could aggravate me. So when you see me come up, freeze, or you'll be one of those seven MCs. They think that I'm a new jack, but only if they knew that. They who think wrong, or they who can't do that style that I'm doing, they might ruin patterns of paragraphs based on you. And you all be DJ if anything he play sound familiar. I'll wait till E-Say play him. So I'ma have to diss who broke. You can get a smack for this. I ain't no joke. The microphone like a grudge. Be a hold a record so the needle don't budge. I hold a conversation cause what I invent. I nominated my DJ the president. When I'm C, I'll keep a freestyle going steadily. So pucker up and whistle my melody. But whatever you do, don't miss one. There'll be another rough rhyme after this one. Before you know it, you're following the fiending. Waiting for the punchline to get the meaning. Like before, the moral of my story I'm telling. Nobody beats the R, so stop yelling. Save it, put it in your pocket for later. Cause I'm moving the crowd and be a rector fader. No interruptions till the mic is broke. When I'm gone, then you can joke. Cause everything is real on a serious tip. Keep playing and I get furious quick. And I take you for a walk through hell. Freeze your dome, then watch your eyeballs swell. Guide you out of triple stage darkness. When it get dark again, then I'ma spark this microphone. Cause the heat is on. You see smoke and the finish when the beat is gone. I'm no joke, no joke, no joke.